Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, who has literally only ever played one Mario Kart game. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, and oh my god, I'm actually here tonight!
And...
Program Mark has opened. Oh, hey guys, how's it going?
Yes, we're finally not alone. The Alex person has joined us.
Yes. Yes, I'm actually here after that brief
absence
I had to take, coming in, quote-unquote, via satellite.
Yeah, and we see Mark 2.0 has finally become, I guess, Mark
2.13? 2.5.
Ah, I see what you did there, Alex.
Yeah.
Just what level is your software up to now? I'm curious.
Let's see, it's up to for our version, 2.6 9 1 0 0.
Ah, that's a good one.
So in other words, 2.6.
Microwave references.
We like the microwave show.
Indeed we do. And maybe this podcast will one day have as many episodes. Though that's probably going to take about like 6 years. Though it'll be like sure to get there, since I don't think we'll be taking any hiatuses or anything. But yeah, for now, we are just on episode 34. So, as always, we start with the formalities. So, how have y'all been?
I have been working to the fucking bone marrow, is what I've been.
Well, that sounds like fun.
So yeah, I wasn't here last week because, well, the inevitable happened. My work schedule fucked all of us over. Now, let me paint a picture for you. My work week started 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. I had a day off, came back to work that following Friday. My next day off was the next Friday after that.
Ew. Fuck.
7 days in a row I had to work. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know just how they could possibly screw things up to this degree. But yeah, I worked 7 days in a row, took 2 days off, then came back to work another day. And, oh my god. Okay, if any of you out there are familiar with how the hotel business works, some hotels are long-term, which is the one I work at. We have long-term guests, you know, who stay from weeks or months at a time. And this recent batch of people we have staying with us have been the fucking worst. They trash the place. They drink all the beer that we sell. It's just... And one person in particular, in the words of Slowy Joey, hoo boy! This is one of the worst guests I've ever seen in any hotel. Belligerent, drunk as all fucking Christ. Oh, and she wants to get lawyers involved because she was being so disruptive, we've had to kick her out.
Oh.
Because she had dogs. Which she may or may not be abusing, we don't know.
Oh, dear God. Oh,
damn.
Yeah. People suck. People really suck.
Why would you do that to the dogs? I bet they were good dogs.
The dogs didn't do shit, yes. Y'all. Why you gotta beat them up for?
Because people are terrible. They're awful human beings. And I don't know why we have these people on the third floor. You know what? Never mind. I'm getting too much into a tangent. Let's just carry on. These people are going to be gone soon anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You know what? I think the worst part is the fact that they drink all the beer. I mean, how are you supposed to deal with them if you're not drunk off your ass?
Oh, believe me. I had to talk to this woman the other night. I had to go up to their door to deliver them a new set of keys because their old keys didn't work for some reason. She is sitting on the wall across from her door, just sitting flat on her ass. She's all, you know, drunk as crap. She's talking to me like going, "Are you the manager?" I wish I was the manager. She said, "I don't want to talk to the manager in the morning." He said, "I'm going to get my lawyers involved." Like, okay, sure. Have a good night. I've had a very busy week, as you can tell.
So basically, this is the unfun, gritty reboot of The Suite Life.
In a matter of speaking, sure. Only without any charming bellman.
Esteban Julio Ricardo Montoya de la Rosa Ramirez.
Yeah.
How the hell do I still know that name? Shit. What the fuck am I doing with my life?
How did you know that name? Why even know that fucking name? And I watched that show too.
Reasons, okay? I like funny sounding Spanish names. Yeah. So, I guess you don't have any more fun stories?
Not really, no. I'm just waiting for my check to come in on Friday, because I am broke as shit right now.
I know that feeling. I'm probably going to be broke tomorrow, because tomorrow's when they finally announce the lineup for 3 Points, which I may have mentioned here already, is the same festival that Gorillaz is headlining down here in October.
Yeah. And
thankfully, they offer payment plans for 3-day festival tickets. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I need to make sure I'm there, so I'm doing it.
Sounds smart, actually. I wish I had that benefit, because everything just went out of my bank account at once. Fucking storage, Amazon Prime, incidentals, my Blu-ray copy of Free, which I wish came a little bit later, but you know what? Fuck it, whatever, it's here now. I've had $25 for the past week or so.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Everything just went out at once. God damn it.
So any shenanigans on Mark's end?
Let's see. Like Alex, I'm broke. Well, I'm broke now considering, like, I spend money on bills, groceries, bought my mom a Muscat diff. What the fuck am I saying?
Oh, yeah. Mother's Day gift.
Yeah. She liked it. She loved it. I'm a good son.
Yay!
But, yeah, other than that, nothing else happened.
So, as for me, mostly just been practicing, because I'm getting ready to play my first metal show that I've played in, like, 2 years this Saturday, unfortunately, which means I'm going to miss the Samurai Jack finale as it's airing live.
Ooh.
Really? No one's even going to do the small violin thing, even sarcastically?
Hey, I got to belt home from work on Saturday to catch it, so I'll be a little behind, too.
Hooray, I won't be alone. And, yeah, I've just been, you know, practicing for that, been dealing with the, you know, start of the summer semester, trying to see if I can get Calculus 2 done in the first half, then maybe if I'm crazy enough, I'll take Multivariable Calc Summer B.
Oh, I have math. No idea what you just said.
Fucking math.
What Mark said. Basically, math.
Damn math.
Right now, my brain is nothing more than upper and lower Riemann sums and integrals.
That's why I don't...
But you kids don't care about that.
That just sounds like gibberish to me.
And that's why I don't miss college at all.
Yeah, we know. You guys are out of college. I'm still in it.
Yeah.
Fight me.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever. Apart from that, none really. So, I guess with all those fun little formalities and shit out of the way, we should probably move right into the new music discussion for this week. As always, there will be a playlist of this week's new songs in the description of the podcast. So, if you want to go check out, listen to what we've been discussing, and then maybe opine along with us, you absolutely can. Or tell us we have shit taste, whatever your prerogative is. So, starting from the top, one of my favorite of the extremely technical death metal, death grind, grindcore, whatever the fuck you want to call them, bands, Origin, who've been around since around 2000 or so, they announced a new album due out June 30th called Unparalleled Universe. And they've released the first single, Accident and Error. And all I can really say about this song is it's grindy as fuck. Like, it's basically just relentlessly pounding against your senses with, you know, just the extremely technical noodled guitars and, you know, the low-end riffs and especially the drums with all, like, the fucking gravity blasts. Like, you gotta wonder how the hell this guy even still has functioning wrists.
Easy. Triggers.
No, I mean, like, on the snare.
Triggers. All you gotta do is just tap it very slightly. Just flick your wrist a little bit and just boom. Computer does all the rest.
That is true, I suppose. And it wouldn't surprise me, given, you know, technical.
Yeah, the drums do sound a little bit too triggered for my taste. They don't have that same authentic hoof to them. It sounds too much like a beep, 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 that kind of drum sound. But yeah, this is stuff I can dig with all the noodling guitar wankery going on there with the super fast drum fills. I've never been too deep into grindcore. I've may mention that a couple times, but this, I can get into this.
I am intrigued. Interesting on his end. So we got about, you know, a month and a half until that drops, so who knows how much more of a taste for that album we'll get. And speaking of stuff coming out in June, and more precisely a month from now, Comp True's sophomore album, Iteration, out June 16th. We've already mentioned the first single, Memory, and now we got another single out with the title of Isostasy?
Iostasy?
Isostasy?
Isostasy?
Isostasy. That's my guess.
Isn't that like a triangle or something?
Yeah.
That's isosceles. And no, that does not make for a good name.
I know ISO is something computer related because, well, yeah, it is like that, but yeah, I think that's what it's called. Iosity. Like ecstasy, but I don't know, but yeah, anyway, yeah, like, listen to the people in this song, it's like, this is one, like, Tom True's more of a slower song. It's like, to me, when I envision this song in my mind, it's like, let's say I'm watching a sci-fi movie and something like that will play, like, let's say I walk to a room, you see all this all technical Marvel stuff hanging around the areas, like, I vision that song playing while you looking around runner. It's like, this is very 80s computer style, like that.
It's kind of like a lot of Comp True stuff, especially, like, what the little touch I kind of like was, like, the, I guess, synthetic bass. Like, it kind of has this very, like, when you hear it, it, like, hits. Like, it's being, like, slapped or something. Kind of a mild sort of funk edge.
I do sense a bit of funk in there.
Especially, though, that, like, really cool drum beat in there with how it, like, you know, goes all crazy on the hi-hats and shit. I can dig that.
This pretty solid tune. I read under the hell of this. It's pretty good.
Yeah, shaping up to be a pretty good second album from Comp True's. And now we move on to something more out there. I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, Mark pasted it in the chat, and I had to do a double take, because this is a weird choice of collaborators. Yeah. Paul Banks, is that his name, Paul Banks? From the popular indie rock act Interpol, and the RZA, the man with the iron fists.
Yeah, apparently, like, they did release an album last year. I didn't know they were a thing, so now it's like, okay, that is a very weird as collaboration, I guess. I guess we're supposed to experiment more with somebody else, but anyway, he got this new track. They got to do a track called Who Needs the World, and, well, there's no album. I don't know what album, but yeah. This is, yeah, like, I feel like it's more classic, like rock mixed with a bit of electronic sounds. It's like, it's more that vibe than anything associated with RZA usually. But, yeah, it is a very out there song. It is more like, well, all the bad shit happened.
Very dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic. All the bad shit happened around the world. All this shit. Like, it's called, like, Who Needs the World? It's all fucked up. Y'all gonna be fucked anyway. Look at this shit. We'll say, like, the lyrics, like, they're good, but they're nothing special, but it's like, okay. It's some very dramatic, tense shit with a lot of interesting instrumentation on it, like I said, it is more electronic and more rock based than you know any typical hip hop thing. Although I want to say I sense a bit of trap, but I don't know if I'm either guessing too much of it.
It's a tiny bit. Whenever I hear that kind of drum beat, you know, my mind just jumps to trap, even though it's minimal. Although, mostly, as far as the beat, I focus more on, like, the very dramatic pianos and those almost kind of Pink Floyd-ish kind of really dramatic guitar solos.
I do sense that out of the song. Yeah, like I said, this is a very, very bizarre track. Man, I'm thinking, maybe I need to check to see how RZA works with Paul Banks.
Yeah, it's a weird combination. And speaking of weird music, next song on the list, Melvins. You know, that band where the guy has a Final Fantasy haircut. And who you kids out there may recognize from their star-studded cameo in the hit Cartoon Network show, Uncle Grandpa.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh yeah, y'all never saw that episode, did you? Yeah, there was an episode where, like, a girl was trying to compete in, like, a high school talent show, and she wanted to do it by, like, playing in a band, but Uncle Grandpa decides, hey, I'm gonna hook you up with my friends! And it's the Melvins, literally playing themselves in a kid's show. This is like when Coconut Fred referenced Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, are you sure you want to go that route that in terms of coolness?
No, I mean, just in terms of a weirdly specific niche reference that I'm pretty sure not most of the audience will get. Seriously, how many, like, 10-year-old kids nowadays listen to the Melvins? Unless they have a cool older sibling that does.
Okay, you got a point there.
But yeah, anyway, Melvins, you know, icons of stoner rock and doom and all that. They have a new album coming out July 7th, a double album called A Walk with Love and Death. And they've released the first single from that album, Christ Hammer, which, hoo boy, isn't that a title? And yeah, you know, it sounds pretty characteristic of the Melvins sound, which is to say, the tempo is a very, like, steady, driving thing. The guitars are very, you know, fuzzy and overdriven. There's this kind of weird, tripped out loopy vibe to it. Like, yeah, the guitar digressions are just kind of, like, all over the place and weird. I'm not really sure you could pin any kind of, like, I guess melodic take to it. It's out there. But then again, it's the Melvins. They're always kind of out there.
Yeah, I'll admit I'm not all that familiar with the Melvins because I don't know, reasons, but I can dig this, too. It has that kind of feel of slow-grooving jam rock with a bit of garage grunginess to it. I'm interested to check out more of their backlog and discography now, after this.
They have some okay stuff out there, although if you ever get a chance, I recommend seeing them live, because I actually did see them live when they were touring with Melt Banana and Napalm Death.
Well, I've looked at all the upcoming concerts coming to this town. Ugh, it's barren. It's real barren.
That was depressing.
Man, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. So we had an okay concert venue for acts like this, but they had to close it.
Oh,
dude, that's the worst.
Yeah, the place where I saw Devin Townsend and Puna Berry to me last year.
Damn. Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, Melvin's coming out with a new album. If this song is any indication, it's going to be a very strange ride. But hopefully a good one. Up next,
yep.
Estelle. You know, Garnet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in case we want to watch the universe, which you should, because it's awesome. She released a new song. She released a new song for which teamed up with Planned Parenthood for this 7-inch of Planned Parenthood album. You know, as the project is, you know, the proceeds of that album will go to the supporting it, which you should because you know it helps out, you know, women all the work. Anyway, she did a song titled
and,
"Woman."
But before we move on, can I just say, as much as I admire the goal of this, whoever thought of 7 inches of for Planned Parenthood phrasing. That's all I'm saying.
Can I think about it again? That sounds weird. But yeah, anyway, the song is called Woman's World, and it's a very powerful song from the lyrics to the production, which is a very funky, bombastic groove it got to it. Like looks a simple Gestel, she's a big supporter of Planned Parenthood and the song it is more certain song is where it more like a hopeful song than more the message to, you can't shut the Planned Parenthood because this thing actually saves more lives while you wanna shut it down because you think it does abortions when it does more than just that stupid shit.
So it's anthemic in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially when I heard this effect that when a railroader says you've seen this when they think about cutting Planned Parenthood, I read that a huge percentage of those affected are proposed funding cuts for women of color, which is really fucked up.
Of course. Bastards.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really say I have much to add to that. Unless you got anything more to say.
No, what I'm gonna say is it's a good song, and Estelle's doing a good thing. It's a good thing, with this song and to the cause which I support her in. She's a fucking saint, and I mean they're both in here and as Garnett.
Indeed. How much longer until Memorial Day?
Damn, that episode got me
2 weeks.
That got me fucked up.
Weeks. Anyway. Speaking of things that got us fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Dean Graham.
Yes!
Ain't it funny how it happened? Yeah.
Yeah, so even though the album Atrocity Exhibition came out last year, he's already still been keeping busy with some more new material. He released a collaborative EP with some guy whose name escapes me at the moment.
Paul White, I think. He's the one that produced most of the tracks on Atrocity Ambition.
Oh yeah, shit! How did I forget that name?
Also, one that produced Ain't It Funny, the best track on there.
Clearly, and he has now released yet another new song titled Kool-Aid, which is featured on the soundtrack to HBO Silicon Valley, which recently came back for a new season. A show which, admittingly, I still have yet to watch.
That's the last place you would expect. On all of a sudden, new Danny Brown track to be featured in.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley, of all things.
Yeah, and her and the song's being released on Mass Appeal Records, the label Nas own, was like, okay.
Yeah, there's weird connections here. But, as for the song itself, it's pretty great. Admittingly, it kind of regresses to the sort of style. I honestly thought that this was like a lost B-side from the album Old. The one that came out right before Atrocity. Because this one's more just a straight banger that, kind of be honest, it kind of sounds like if you took the song Dip and added like a tropical thing to it. Like, it's like if this song was produced by a talented version of Scott Storch. Yeah, this song is just a fucking,
it is
banger as fuck. It's goddamn, hype.
It is a motherfucking banger. Oh my god, this shit got me. This is gonna be hype every time I play this track. And I do get that. That sounds like something I would hear from Old, because I did sense a little bit of that. But this track will get you hyped as hell.
You just gotta fucking turn up every time you hear those fucking tropical percussions kick in, man.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
And the thing, fucking Silicon Valley gets this type of song, man.
Yeah, that is fucking weird. Holy shit.
But hey, it's a welcome surprise.
Yeah, great surprise.
So, yeah, good song, and I gotta check out the soundtrack sometime.
Yes, I do.
There's probably gonna be some good stuff on there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be some Mass Appeal. There could be some good things on there. Hopefully.
Yep. And now we move from Silicon Valley to the land of the rising sun. Insert some kind of joke from the History of Japan video here, I guess. Yeah, so one of the icons of the sludge and doom and drone noise genres, whatever you want to call that whole circle, has been a Japanese trio by the name of Boris. A band which I'll admit I didn't know about until one of my friends in college told me that I ought to check them out. So, yeah, they've been around for 25 years. I think they've released just as many albums. And they've got yet another new album coming out this year called Dear, coming out July 14th. And we've got the first single from that album, Absolute Ego. And all that really needs to be said about this song is that there is some fucking filthy, sludgy riffage in this one.
Oh, like, yeah.
We have found the only thing in this planet that is filthier than Papa Franku. And it is the fucking riffs in this goddamn song that just come down like a goddamn hammer. And you think it starts off heavy. Like, it starts off going pretty steady and sludgy, but then once it breaks about halfway through and the tempo drops even more and the song just hits you, like, even harder and doomier, and then even towards the end where, like, the drums just, like, you know, sort of begin to slowly drop out, only doing, like, you know, the fucking measure marking cymbal hits and the vocals just, you know, wail high pitch and then get all deep as hell. It, like the fucking shrieks of the damned from You Just Don't Know Where.
Yeah, this is a very interesting blend of styles. You have the super doom metal guitar and drum work. You have kind of a shoegazy lead guitar sound going to that last bit. And that dual vocal in the end where you have the sung melody and that, you know, the loud screaming. It blends together in such a fantastic way.
I'm trying to... I lost my train of thought here, because I knew I had a Boris album on hand, and I was trying to see if I could see it on my shelf here. I'm hyped for this album, because their last album they came out with that, as far as I know, or last one I heard, Noise, that was in my, like, best of list for 2014. Like, I think it tied with, like, the Deer and Grey album that came out that year. Yeah, in case you can't tell, I'm a fucking weeb.
Really? Never would have guessed.
I know, right? But yeah, if you just need something that's filthy as hell and hits hard and just makes you fucking feel like, you know, sacrificing something to the devils or whatever, this is good shit. It'll fuck you up in a good way. And here's to possibly 25 more years of Boris.
Salud.
Drink.
Well, I mean, salud is the wrong language, but okay. Whatever the fuck salud means in Japanese, I guess. But yeah, moving on from hype as shit to... Huh? Apparently, there is another album from the from the group Die Antwoord coming out this... There actually isn't a release date on it. But yeah, apparently they've already got a follow-up to last year's Mount Ninja album due out this year called The Book of Zeph, which they claim is going to be their last album, although their various statements have, like, contradicted each other frequently on that. And they've dropped the first single with the totally not at all cliched and overplayed title slash musical idea of Love Drug. A song about how love can be like a drug.
It looks like cocaine. It gets me fucked up.
Isn't that basically the entire Weekend catalog?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... This idea totally isn't played out at all. I mean, it's not like, you know, every pop star in the world has done it. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, this song is... Okay, Die Antwoord is an acquired taste. There's some of their stuff I like, but you kind of have to be willing to, I guess, put yourself in the same wavelength or frequency. Obviously, the lyrics here are no great shakes. Like, okay, the chorus of it sounds vaguely romantic in a way, but then you, like, get to the, you know, verses, which are pretty much exactly as filthy Frank. Yeah, there lots of lyrics about, you know, fucking and getting it on very filthily. Oofy. And it's kind of like this weird back and forth contrast of it. Especially, like, at least I can kind of get into the beat, which the beat itself doesn't really have, like, a melody. It's just kind of this pounding bass drum that kind of feels like you're at a pep rally. And then there's this weird, there's these kind of, like, buzzing tones and noise that don't really have, like, a melody to them or anything. And then, of course, it gets, like, the weird, you know, oomts, oomts, techno rave drums at the end. The, like I said, the beat I can get into, and I don't know, like, this just, the lyrics feel cliche, like, even by Die Antwoord's standards, so, I don't know, I'm not sure where I sit on this one, to be honest.
This is weird as shit, that's all I got.
I'm guessing this is your first time on the Antwoord Rodeo?
No, I tried, like, I listened to a few tracks of it before, they're okay. I'm just not that deep of a Antwoord fan as you are.
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself the biggest fan. Like, truth be told, the only reason I know about them is because of the time I went with the guitarist from my old band to the movies to go watch Chappie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, damn. And I just, like, listened to their albums for shits and giggles, and I was like, there's a few songs in here I can kind of deal with, but yeah, this one I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, they make good songs, but you gotta just do some. My first appearance was them for the movie Chappie, then damn, because I did not like that movie at all.
You ain't the only one, pal.
Yeah. And also, fucking Hugh Jackman, you punk-ass bitch.
Ooh, damn. But, I suppose we've exhausted that song. But let's move on to something that's interesting in a good way.
Yeah.
We return to our pal Shabazz Palaces, who, in a surprise twist, have revealed that on the same day they release Quasar's Born on a Gangster Star, they're releasing a second Quasar's album, Quasar's Versus the Jealous Machines. So this isn't like a one and done. There was some planning for this shit.
And it's going to be more interesting as go further with their new song, Betty Clip Extension. And okay, I will say, like, I really do fuck with this song. Like, the lyrics are so weird. Lyrics are kind of, like, very weird and all. I've already gotten to it all. Now I started quoting it, like, when it says, join us, join us, join up, join, like, this was something like a few times. At first it was kind of confusing, a couple of times, but then I started getting into the lyrics, especially the part where it says, your favorite rapper, his claws glinting a Xanax flow. Your favorite rapper, his heart's scrolling to and fro. Your favorite rapper, he's feeling numb, just dapper dumb. Your favorite rapper, your chauvinist with feminine vanities. Your favorite rapper.
Yeah, I can only imagine who he could possibly be talking about. Yo, 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 yo.
Praise song by his adoring fans. Your favorite rapper.
Yeah.
This is one trippy ass song that I definitely listened to 1,000 times. And the more I listen to, like, and now you know they got this second album coming out. It's like, okay. So they got, though, they're going to be going two Shabazz Palaces albums. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, one of the media takeaways I get from this is that remembering Shine a Light, which had the, you know, that weird film noir score that was very lush and happy, this one's a lot darker. It's this much moodier thing. Like, when you're listening to the beat and the way, like, those repeated lyrics, like, join us and your favorite rapper, it kind of puts you in, like, you feel like you're sort of, like, in a hungover haze, and hell, it's kind of what the lyrics sound like. Like, whoever's narrating this is kind of in this, like, just moody, blitzed out of his mind, like, just coming down from, like, a bad hangover, and they're just kind of, like, awkwardly perceiving the world around them, and things just seem, like, all harsh and confusing and dark. So, I'm guessing, in a sense, that Born on a Gangster Star is supposed to be more probably slightly more lighthearted, while this one's probably going to be more, I guess, jagged in a sense, which certainly would be an interesting dichotomy. Either way, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be putting down money for both of these albums.
I'll definitely look at this will be when it comes out. Like as soon as I let's say I don't know as soon as like is able to listen, I'll be like, yep, I'm gonna be on there first thing.
And now let's kill our enthusiasm with mainstream pop.
Error, shutting down.
Oh no, you're not weaseling your way out of this one. Alex got to take a nap last week, but you stay and suffer with us. In this case, the return of our dear friend, Miley Cyrus. Yep, dear old Miss Hannah Montana, a.k.a. Miss Why'd I Put the Dick in the Pussy?
What the fuck?
Oh my god. I don't even know. But yeah, it appears that former bad girl Miley is returning to a more clean and friendly pop image, while simultaneously dissing the rap culture that she was shallowly embracing for, you know, that fucking one album, which, okay, look, I'm not any big fan of the mindless hair metal style hedonism that embraces mainstream rap nowadays, but for you to fucking steal all that shit, to forcibly make it your own, and then now you're here and you're looking back on it and, you know, just dissing it left and right, fuck you, Miley. Have this goddamn spine to stand by your actions. Fucking yeah. Shit.
Yeah, in other words, I ain't gonna ban because, well, because I'm not gonna get noticed anymore, you dumb motherfucker. Really?
But yeah, she's got a new album coming out, who the fuck knows when, and we've got the first single, Malibu, which, gee, I wonder what this could be about. Yeah, it's supposed to be one of those, like, twangy, sort of pop country-ish, beach-friendly jams, and it's just, it's whatever, it's... You know, I'll admit, I kind of now miss, like, the, you know, weirdo Miley, because at least that gave you something to talk about. This is just kind of as bog standard as it gets, although, thankfully, at least Miley's voice never, like, reaches those penetrating highs. Like, it's mostly kept in, like, a mid to low register. So at least it's not that, but I don't know, man.
So do I gotta be the one?
The one to what aren't you telling us?
Okay, I actually kind of like this song. It's catchy, it has a good hook. Mostly, I'm just glad she finally found her mind and put it back into her fucking head. Oh, what? What's the big deal?
Oh my, are you serious, Alex?
Hey, it's catchy. I did not want to pull my ears off after listening to this. I kind of got into it.
Catchy? I can barely remember how the damn thing goes, to be honest.
Look, we all have our idiosyncrasies. We like what we like. I even like that new Harry Styles track, Sign of the Times. It's good.
Wait, who the fuck is Harry Styles?
The actual talented guy from One Direction.
The fuck is in One Direction? Sounds like some shit you just made up. But yeah, I guess he's the outlier here.
Yeah.
So I guess that gives you one interesting thing to munch on in this podcast. One tangent, if you will. But yeah, I suppose that rounds out all the new song discussion for this week. We're gonna go on a little break, and when we come back, we do have some news to discuss. So, see you in a bit. And we're back. Our first news story of the week is some kind of like Radio Dead Air-ish type of shit, because it involves ridiculous identity fraud scams, and it's Florida.
Here we go again.
Yeah, so
all aboard the Florida train.
So within the past week was the, I believe, second edition, of the Miami Rolling Loud Hip Hop Festival, which, you know, had some pretty big names on it, perhaps biggest of all being motherfucking Kendrick Lamar. And so, you know, naturally a lot of people probably want to go see that. They want to, you know, get tickets however they can. But, you know, you should probably think things through completely if you're planning to go the shady route, because married couple posing as Adele's manager arrested after trying to score free Kendrick tickets. Okay, a married couple were arrested in Miami on Saturday after allegedly posing as Adele's manager, Jonathan Dickens, in an attempt to score free tickets for Kendrick Lamar at the Rolling Loud Festival. The couple, Justin Jackson and Angel Lee, have reportedly posed as Dickens multiple times. So this isn't a first offense. This has happened before. To request tickets and memorabilia from artists like Rihanna, Drake, Katy Perry, Usher, and even Chris Brown. Now, the real Dickens apparently found out about the scam from a few artist representatives, and over a year ago, he reported the events to the Miami-Dade Police Department. An investigation was launched, and their attempt to get into Rolling Loud led to a sting operation. So, apparently, yeah, the word got around that eventually this managed to get to Kendrick's label, Top Dog Entertainment, who reached out to the actual Jonathan Dickens, who then reached out to Miami Police Department, and, you know, they set up this whole sting, and it was successful, and they were arrested. Now, I get that I... Now, guys, is this like what the fucking... Did we have a story a couple weeks ago about someone trying to steal the identity of Nickelback's drummer?
Yeah.
I think so.
That was also in Florida, wasn't it?
What's happening in Florida?
In Port St. Lucie, Florida, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Just... You know, guys, they can verify this shit. Like, if you're going to tell lies in regards to identity theft, they have to, at the very least, be plausible. Like, you probably could have looked up a picture of what Jonathan Atkins looked like, realized you probably don't look like them, and then, you know, back to the drawing board. Find someone who you do look like. Why would Adele or Adele's manager want to go see Kendrick?
Should I be a Kendrick fan? I don't know.
Now, if this is a repeated thing that's been going on, I have to ask, since you're the Miami experts, what is in the water in Miami?
Fuck if I know. I think it's mostly a lot of Jarritos. Or I guess, like, the runoff from whatever factory produces Jarritos.
Hey, don't go pissing all over Jarritos. That stuff's good.
Indeed it is, but, you know... I don't know, maybe it's like the fucking, like, it's probably like, I don't know, tainted yuca or something that just, like, dissolved in the water and now everyone's going crazy.
Well, drugs. It's drugs.
It's that flock of shit.
It's Waka Flocka, motherfuckers. It's alligators coked out on fucking, you know, coke and meth. Dealing it themselves. You gotta be careful with those alligator meth dealers.
Is there never guess been for? Please, man, I need
my fix, man. I need my fucking Pollo Tropical, man. I need the fucking sauce. I need that curry mustard and cilantro garlic in my veins. Ooh, maybe that's what it is. Someone dumped like a bunch of cilantro garlic in the water. Expired cilantro garlic.
Ew.
Oh God, that ain't good.
But yeah, neither was that scam. Again, if you're going to try to pull off a heist, just like what we said with the Nickelback guy, you have to lie within the bounds of reason. Plausibility. That is the key word here.
Yeah. That's like me saying, hey, I know Top Dog Entertainment. You know, like, that's a fucking lie. You don't know them.
Idiot criminals are always fun. But moving on from stupidity to literal genius, it always kind of surprises me when it turns out that musicians are actually, like, really intellectual in some kind of non-music field. Like, the obvious example being Queen guitarist Brian May, who I'm pretty sure has a PhD in astrophysics. But see, at least that I kind of get, because, you know, they're, like, from the UK, and supposedly people are smarter over there.
It's actually physics and mathematics.
Mathematics, too. I forgot. Yeah, wait, yeah. Was his PhD in mathematics?
His doctorate was in astrophysics. Physics. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that at least makes sense. This one has always kind of baffled me. So let's jump on board the Crazy Taxi and talk about Offspring frontman Dexter Holland, who throughout the entirety of his career, you know, before and during the Offspring, he has been frequently in the pursuit of, you know, higher level academic degrees, specifically in the biological fields of study. And as of this past week, Dexter has officially graduated from the University of Southern California with his doctorate in molecular biology.
Hooray!
The same man whose voice you hear every time you start up a game of Crazy Taxi is now technically a doctorate student.
What a grand achievement.
I wonder if he enjoyed Will Ferrell's commencement speech.
I don't get it.
You didn't hear? Will Ferrell gave a commencement speech at USC last weekend to all the graduates.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think I may have.
Yeah. It, I can tell you, it went a lot better than when Betsy DeVoe did her commencement speech. Who the fuck wants that woman there?
Yeah, Betsy DeVos giving a speech about education is like Darth Vader lecturing me on peaceful protest.
Or fatherhood.
But anyway, as far as the specifics, you know, he returned to college like, you know, in the recent years, you know, downtime between Offspring's last album and whenever, I guess, their new one's coming out, finished his dissertation. Specifically, it was a 175-page thesis titled, and you'll have to excuse me for the gibberish I'm about to say, Discovery of Mature MicroRNA Sequences Within the Protein Coding Regions of Global HIV-1 Genomes, Predictions of Novel Mechanisms for Viral Infection and Pathogenicity.
175 pages. Jesus.
This is clearly a guy who, you know, is passionate about what he does. And apparently, you know, it's a bunch of, I think one of his primary fields of research is sort of, as far as its application, is all about, like, HIV treatments and everything. Like, studying how the disease works and how, you know, it can be cured and all. Which, you know, is actually pretty fantastic. Maybe then he can finally find a cure for the HIV derivative known as the Offspring's music.
Damn.
Oh. That came back around.
I'm partially kidding, although I have to imagine this is the most that anyone's cared about the Offspring in, like, 5 fucking years.
Yeah.
Actually,
but in a way,
make that 7 years.
Yeah. But in a way, I guess you could say he did go far, kid.
Well, at least I wasn't the one to make that joke.
Somebody had to.
Actually, 9 years. Because I'm pretty sure that's how long ago Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace came out. The last Offspring album anyone gave a shit about.
Yep.
Whatever the one that was that came out in 2012 don't count. But moving on from PhD academics to goofy television. Yeah, we're now approaching the summer season of television, meaning that, you know, all the spring shows are sort of, at least as far as American television, they're slowly coming to an end, and the new shows are slowly starting to ramp up. There's some pretty good stuff coming this, you know, summer. As we already mentioned, Silicon Valley already got started. We're getting the final season of FX's The Strain, a show I'm kind of going to miss. And, of course, on other television fronts, like, say, Adult Swim. Hey, they already recently premiered the new season of Mike Tyson Mysteries.
And, of course,
for some reason, we're getting another run of friggin' Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter in a couple weeks.
Next week, actually, just for, like, 5 days, I think.
And, of course, end of Rick and Morty coming back. Well, you know.
Hopefully. And, of course, they've got some, you know, other stuff they're working on. I'm pretty sure there's an original show that the name I'm blanking. Oh, some show called Apollo Gauntlet that's coming out this summer. We're getting a new season of that Decker show that Tim Heidecker likes to do. And this new series right here, the official Adult Swim return of none other than Tyler, the Creator.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently Nuts and Bolts on Viceland isn't the only thing he's got coming up. So The new show that he's bringing to Adult Swim is a version of a series, an animated series that was previously only exclusive to his golf media app called The Jellies. Now, much like the original, which I'll admit I've never seen because I don't have the app, the story of the Adult Swim version follows a 16-year-old kid named Cornell Jelly, who is the human son of a family of jellyfish. When Cornell finds out that he was adopted, he tries to, quote, find himself. Now, of course, the show will feature music by Tyler himself, and I don't know how much else he's contributing to it. And it'll also feature voice talents of Tyler, the creator himself, Blake Anderson of Workaholics, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Phil Lamar, who I believe is voicing the main character.
So he won't be taking any break after Samurai Jack ends. Good.
Yep. And all I really have to go off of, since I couldn't find any clips of the Jellies golf app series on YouTube or anything, was just the Adult Swim trailer, which was pretty amusing. It, you know, Cornell trying to give, like, several takes of his introduction to the show, and then he gets, like, you know, barked at off stage by a director, and he then proceeds to choke that guy while, you know, dementedly complaining that he's not trying to get taken off the air like every other black-led TV show, like The Boondocks or Black Dynamite or Loiter Squad. So, in other words, this clip is basically what Mark complains about when we're not listening.
Yeah.
He's just, they're going to make more Black Dynamite.
It should have been six seasons of a movie. Yeah. Oh, wait, there already was a movie.
And that's for Boondocks season, end of season three. That's it. That's all three seasons. Yeah.
Screw season four.
What are you talking about? There was no season four. It never happened. Next, you're going to tell me there was a season four of Community.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we all wanted more Lawyer Squad, but then, you know, the whole Odd Future thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as for this show, it looks pretty amusing. I'm kind of fascinated by the animation style, because I swear to God, this art style looks like... I've seen this before. It kind of looks like halfway between the animation style of that one YouTuber, Psychic Pebbles, and a certain set of shorts from that Mad Magazine TV show that Cartoon Network used to have.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking kind of like between that and, what was it called? Secret Mountain Fort Awesome? That show?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know who the actual art team is. I do know the animation is being done by Augenblick Studios, who have quite a portfolio, as they did animation and graphics for Wonder Showzen. They did the first season of Adult Swim Super Jail. And they even animated the entirety of Comedy Central's short-lived Ugly Americans. You know, that show that existed.
So that show deserves so much better, man.
I mean, it looks pretty amusing. I'm inclined to give it a watch, of course.
Yeah, it looks amusing.
Yeah.
Nothing else to add, gentlemen?
Not much, but the show was interesting enough to me to watch it.
Also, I'm interested by this. Absolutely.
And I was good to see Todd Curry working again, like in over, like he got this and the Viceland thing. It's like he's gonna be one busy man. Which is, you know, more than the last year, which I don't know which wasn't much.
True. So that's one TV show that we can all look forward to.
Yay.
Unlike this next one.
Ow.
Now, some things should just stay dead. Whether they get canceled due to low ratings, they finish their, you know, run as originally intended, some things just should not be brought back. If they fade into irrelevance, they need to stay there. American Idol has apparently been revived by ABC.
Boo!
Why?
Yeah, it's why, I don't know. Because, okay, I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but was it the reason that show was canceled was due to low ratings?
Yeah.
And also, no one seems to give a shit about American Idol that much anymore. Yeah.
Let me go on a little tangent here. I was a kid years ago, obviously. When American Idol started, it was the hottest thing around. But, you know, over time, it grew, you know, less and less important. 2007, that was pretty much the peak of that show's existence. After that, it just didn't matter anymore. You know, it wasn't as good. It pretty much jumped the shark after that one season. But nowadays, with YouTube, with SoundCloud, with all of these places where people can be discovered, why the fuck do we need American Idol?
It's like, I don't need some kind of mass-produced talent show to show me artists that I should check out. I could just waste my time digging through mediocre mixtapes on SoundCloud by rappers like Politics and my nigga Pookie.
And also, right now, I don't see that point anymore. Like, really, like, when the last time somebody from went to my, like, oh, you want to make an idol? You're famous now. It's like, who the fuck are you again? It's like, oh yeah, you're that singer that no one cares about. Like, when the last big famous star from American Idol was,
I can tell you the only American Idol winner I can remember off the top of my head, Jordan Sparks. And I can't even remember what season that was. Because I'll admit,
I think that was season four.
Two or three seasons of American Idol. That's it.
All I know from memory is Lil' K Clarkson, she won. Ruben Studdard, he won. Fantasia, she won, but no one gets a shit. Even if her husband got the bigger career than her. And then you got these other motherfuckers, which either you don't remember them, or they burnt out, or no one cares about anymore. Like, do you hear somebody screaming about Justin Gowani, whatever the fuck that motherfucking name is?
What about the cinematic classic from Justin McKellen?
or about Bo Bice? Remember Bo Bice? Or was it... What was it? Bo Bice? Who remembers Bo Bice?
I remember him.
Yeah.
You know, when he was complaining about being called that white guy by, you know, the staff at a Popeye's airport.
Yeah. oh shit, that's right. I did forget about that, but then again, he's forgettable. Matter of fact, who's that motherfucker that won that other guy Adam Lambert lost to? Like, I don't know. I don't remember. Like, who cares? Like,
I think it was David Artichoke.
Oh, yeah. And then Adam Lambert got to be the front man for Queen.
Yeah, just, you know, that's the funny thing about American Idol. It doesn't even succeed at the thing it tells you it's trying to succeed about. Like, the American Idols are usually never the ones with successful careers. It's always the also-rans, the below first-placers.
Yeah. I mean, look at Chris Daughtry. He had a pretty good career as, you know, a rock star. He didn't win.
Oh my god, don't even bring that fucking name in my presence. He is the Chad Kroger of American Idol contestants.
Hey, in this state, he was a hometown hero.
He is a shitty butt rock musician who has no business playing or ever being anywhere near music. Which, by the way, just to rub salt in the wound, supposedly there's been a story going around that Daughtry might be one of the judges for this revived version of American Idol, which... What the fuck position are you in to judge other people's singing?
Right alongside Katy Perry, from what I've heard.
Yeah, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Fun. Now we just need to find an angry British guy. Might I suggest Jim fucking Sterling's son? The guy can dream.
Don't they need a black guy?
Yeah, we need the obligatory black guy, who's just not feeling it, dog. You know, dog, he's just not feeling it. Dog, dog, I swear, I'm feeling it. I'm not, dog.
Does that mean Katy Perry is going to be the drunk one?
Maybe.
I guess.
That's how old we are. We know the original judges.
Yeah. But, jeez, just... What is the point of this? Like
money!
But, like, how are they going to make money off this? The reason it went off the air was precisely because it was not making money.
I don't know. And also, the people at ABC and Fremantle Media are crazy, okay? That's my guess.
Isn't The Voice still a thing?
Yeah, The Voice is still a thing.
And The X Factor and, like, fucking Eurovision. Shit, at least with Eurovision, you get people in stupid outfits.
And the epic sax guy.
That too.
Yeah. And but, Pain of Salvation that one year.
Oh, yeah. But thankfully, I don't think we have to worry about that for at least until next year.
At least.
Oh.
So, let's move on to stories involving legal disputes. Starting with Papa Roach. A band who's only really famous for one song. One song that was basically just a ripoff of another song. That song being Hallowed Be Thy Name, the seminal metal classic from Iron Maiden. The ending track off that ever-so-classic Number of the Beast album. However, apparently it seems like Iron Maiden may have not been all that original in that regard either. Yes, apparently a lawsuit has been filed against the band, and according to a statement released from Iron Maiden's management, the lawsuit entails that their classic hit, Hallowed Be Thy Name, is supposedly a carbon copy knockoff of a song from a band called Beckett titled Life's Shadow, written and recorded sometime in the early 1970s. Apparently, as the statement says, Iron Maiden member Steve Harris was a fan of Beckett, and they referenced quite a bit of material in Hallowed Be Thy Name. And according to the legal dispute, Iron Maiden has decided that they are no longer going to be playing that song on, you know, any tours going forward until this whole debacle is settled. Well, that's unfortunate.
Okay, one of these cases again. This is going to take a while to go through the court system, I can tell.
Very much.
5 years later.
Oh no, they have to, you know, take a classic song out of their list. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll replace it with something else. It's not like they have a shortage of classics.
Yeah. So I guess that pretty much nullifies any possible 35th anniversary Number of the Beast tour that they might have done.
Damn it, that's right. Fuck. Man, that would have been fun. Just to hear the entirety of that album. But who knows, however, like, long it'll take to get this settled out. And, you know, who knows, maybe at a certain point they might be able to take that song back out on tour. We shall see. But moving on to other music legends who are currently involved in litigation somehow. Prince. Yeah, this... Remember when Alex said that the whole blocked EP release thing wouldn't be the first we'd be... or last time we'd be hearing of this? Yeah, this came back up again, sort of. Okay, Universal Music Group, who had engaged in a deal with Prince's estate, you know, an agreement back in February, they are trying to back out of that deal. The original deal was that UMG, at a certain point, would eventually gain the exclusive licensing rights to Prince's catalog post-1996, originally owned by NPG Records, as well as unreleased material, which means, you know, his back catalog probably would have seen release at one point, and the rights to, quote, certain renowned albums from between 1979 and 1996, back when he was under contract with Warner Brothers Records. But apparently, you know, 1 year after the anniversary of his death, Universal Music Group is trying to renege on that deal after various complications have arrived. Supposedly a lot of he said, she said about who is misrepresenting the licensing rights. Now, apparently this deal was worth an estimated $30 million. So that's a lot of money they're trying to back out of. Like, hot damn.
Ugh. I knew this was going to happen. It was just going to be a snowball effect. And we get more stories like this.
Yeah, you know anything about, like, all the legal ins and outs of this shit you may want to share with us?
Well, I'm not quite certain how this would work between two music groups, Universal and Warner Brothers, concerning some an artist's music who is, you know, dead. This is going to end ugly for everybody. Like, no one's going to end up happy with this.
Yeah. The big source of dispute was that even though Universal Music Group was set to do, you know, some Prince releases starting in 2018, apparently Warner's rights on the specified albums in question don't expire until 2021. So that's a big source of conflict, and no one's really sure how to, you know, move forward. But there is a hearing scheduled later this month regarding, you know, the rescinding of the deal that Universal wants to pull. So who knows what this might, you know, relate to. But, you know, hopefully it gets resolved in a satisfactory manner. I mean, I'd like to hear some unreleased Prince stuff. Wouldn't we all?
Absolutely,
we would. I'm interested.
But yeah, that's a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo. But now, we move on from mumbo-jumbo to fucking wretched horseshit. Now, it's no secret that, as a general rule of thumb, you could safely assume musicians are terrible people. Even the ones that look like good people are probably shitty people if you bury deep enough.
Yeah. Not Stephen Wilson, though. He's a good guy all around. He's just very quiet and reserved. He's peaceful. He's a good guy.
What are you talking about? He's the kind of guy that clearly kicks puppies.
How dare you?
But this story is not any kind of laughing matter at all. And it concerns a band that's always kind of been on, like, the periphery of my musical radar. Like, I know they were a big, like, up-and-coming thing as far as, like, the, you know, indie rock and punk scenes. A group called Power Bottom. They only have, like, one album out, and, you know, it seemed like things were ramping up. They had a new album that came out rather recently, like, I think in the past week or so. But that's probably all we're ever going to be hearing of them in the future, because one of their members, Ben Hopkins, was accused and outed as being a known sexual predator. Several details have been leaked to a variety of sources that he had made sexually aggressive advances on an unnamed girl, even, you know, refusing to use protection and just, you know, trying to assault her while she was asleep. Which, first of all, fuck you, dude. And second of all, fuck you, dude. The surprising thing about this is that normally, you know, in our fucked up society, a rape accusation won't do much to you. Like, there could be clear evidence that you've done it, and the worst you would get is, like, 6 months in jail, or rather 3 if you're released for, quote, good behavior, like in the state of fucking Ohio. But surprisingly, these very tangible and, for the record, very clear accusations, which, for the record, also include ironic Nazism amongst them, have actually had some fairly tangible consequences, because there's just been this tidal wave of backlash and fallout ever since the accusations first broke out. Just to give a brief overview, several of the opening acts for Power Bottom's upcoming tour, including bands like T-Rextacy, Rat Boys, Tancred, and Iggy, have all dropped and canceled their, you know, opening slots for the band's upcoming tour. Also, Power Bottom touring member Cameron West quit the band shortly after. A handful of festivals that Power Bottom were booked to play at, such as Michigan's Bled Fest and the Hopscotch Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina, have dropped the band from their lineups. Their management company, Salty Artist Management, which, boy, isn't that a name?
Okay, that's a name right there.
They dropped Power Bottom from, you know, their management roster. And just the final nail in the coffin, their label, Polyvinyl, has dropped the band from the label. So, as far as I'm concerned, we're basically not hearing a single goddamn thing from this band anytime soon, or its members, if ever. Shit, they're not even going to be selling any of their merchandise anymore, and Polyvinyl is even offering full refunds for anybody who's ever purchased any Polyvinyl merch.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
All donations from, you know, the refunds will go to a handful of organizations for protecting against, you know, sexual assault and violence against LGBTQ people. And wow, this is just all kinds of fucked up, yeah. Ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And reportedly, they just outright canceled their entire tour, saying, This just in, Power Bottom is canceling all upcoming shows until further notice. The band making a formal statement early next week.
Early next week, eh? I smell breakup.
Yeah.
Because
the thing is with the interview that the unfortunate victim did with Jezebel, this victim counteracted an official statement from, you know, the band saying, you know, we're shocked to hear these allegations, which, in a matter of speaking, the response was, bitch, shut the fuck up. You know what he did.
Like, just straight up calling bullshit on a guy trying to cover his own ass.
Yeah, and the quote is, the statement they made is 100% false. Yeah.
Sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
But Power Bottom, or I guess rather Ben Hopkins in particular, yeah, with the level of fallout that has just escalated following the accusations, there's no way that he's ever recovering from this. Like, ever. I mean, dude, your label and your management dropped your ass. You had to cancel your tour. Your other bands bailed on you.
Yeah. The last time I heard something like this was with the band Lost Prophets, when their singer was discovered to be a diddler. A very, very sick, disgusting diddler.
Oh, shit, I have heard about that. The one of my friends who...
Yeah, I'm not even going to say the crime, because it's that vile.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, but yeah, I don't want to say it either.
Yeah.
Just absolutely disgusting. Although, this is one of those rare occasions where they actually do get their comeuppance, so I guess there's a small victory to be taken in that.
Yeah.
Though Lord knows if he's actually going to get arrested or anything for this, which we hope he does. He's kind of a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be sure to update, you know, any further, if there's any more fallout from this. Seriously, like, as Alex pointed out, like, 7 of the top 10 stories on Stereo Gum were all about this. And the evolving narrative.
Yeah. Kind of too big to ignore.
Yeah. Why can't the rest of life be like this? You know, you get proved as, you know, engaging in sexual assault, and you have your entire life fall apart instead of, you know, becoming the president. But that covers all the news topics for this week. So all that's really left is running over the new album releases for the week of May 19th, 2017. Starting from the top, we have the newest album from progressive metalers Scale the Summit, titled In a World of Fear. A new release from industrial metalers Three Teeth, titled Shutdown.exe. The latest album from footwear producer Jay Lynn, titled Black Origami. The return of Dragon Force, who are apparently still a thing, with their latest effort reaching into infinity. Seriously, how does Dragon Force still have a career?
They made their life. They made their career out of being a meme. Why not just ride with it?
And speaking of that...
Speaking of memes, Papa Roach with a new album called Crooked Teeth.
You still doing stuff?
Apparently. Roger Waters' latest solo album, Is This the Life We Really Want? The return of the D-O-double-G with his newest release, Never Left. And last, and definitely least, the newest Linkin Park album, One More Light.
And no, Chester, I will not get the fuck over Hybrid Theory.
Tell you what I'm going to do. I'll get over Hybrid Theory once you actually prove that One More Light is worth listening to.
So far, no.
Yeah, so with all that out of the way, now is the time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Okay, I haven't done this for a week, but let me see if I remember it. Aura of Azure, A-Z-U-R-E, whatever, Instagram, Azure_Aura on Twitch, Azure Plays Games on YouTube, where I play games sometimes, and that's about it. Yeah, I did it.
All right, cool. Mark, what about you?
Of course, my Twitter, Matt2HyperMedia, my site, MattHyper1, at thehyper1.wordpress.com. That's about it.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can also contact me via email, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have any questions, comments, and inquiries regarding podcasting and other stuff as well. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel, which, again, you can find by searching Rob Barracuda. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you can always be notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And, of course, this is the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, which you can find on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, online at www.surrealresolution.com, and find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. While you're there, listen to the archives of previous Decibel Boost episodes. Check out our other podcasts as well. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. Also, be sure to read a lot of our great Ring content. Currently, we have weekly write-ups of Samurai Jack, My Hero Academia, and Attack on Titan Season 2. Although, the Samurai Jack write-ups are going to come to a close this weekend with the final episode and everything. Man, I've been waiting 13 years, and it's finally here. Holy shit.
It's almost here.
Alone.
Also, probably by the time this podcast goes up, I'll have a review of the newest Paramore release, After Laughter. Short version? It's not bad. I kind of like it. As for other stuff, there's, you know, check out the rest of our content as well. Jump into our Discord chat if you want to, you know, dank it up however you please. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. That'll about do it for this week. So, until next time, seriously, fuck Power Bottom.